to acquire the mind of Christ. Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's certainly a joy and a pleasure to be here in Phoenix for this Sabbath and being here for the mini conference that Fred had us come down for. It was really a very profitable and just a very rewarding opportunity. I really appreciated the messages this morning because that certainly is in line with what I'm going to be bringing you this afternoon. And it's really not amazing, for God knows what we need to hear, and he certainly gives it to us in abundance. Paul said in Philippians 2:5, and you don't need to turn there, we'll be going there later, "Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." What does it mean to have the mind of Jesus Christ, and how do you achieve it? Let's understand that our mind is an incredible created entity of our bodies. It is basically greater than any supercomputer that's ever been seen, and it's an incredible organ, the mind, the brain, however you want to dissect it and take it apart. But it's an incredible creation, but let us understand that it is our mind and our thoughts that truly establishes who we are. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinks, so is he, as he thinks in his heart or in his mind." And that's, again, Proverbs 23:7. And you know, this is true because it is the very mind, our very thoughts, which establishes our very attitudes, our feelings, emotions. Our thoughts project the very words that we speak, as well as the very conduct that we live by, and also it establishes our character. So the mind and the thoughts really are the foundation of your life. Christ in Luke 6, and if you'll please turn there, Luke 6, verse 45. Christ had a lot to say about the words that a person spoke and the source of those thoughts and words. And he says in Luke 6 and verse 45, "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and the wicked man out of the wicked treasure of his heart brings forth that which is wicked. For out of the abundance of the heart," and we can say heart slash mind, if you will, because there is an interconnection between the heart and the mind, "his mouth speaks." His mouth speaks. So again, this is something that we need to understand. So if we can have control over our thought processes, the very way that we think, is this not going to have an effect on who we are, the character that we're able to develop, and especially if our thoughts and our thinking is in line with thoughts in the mind of Jesus Christ? And indeed, the answer is yes. And God knows us in a very, very personal manner. If you could be turning over to Psalm number 139, because there we can really read that David understood that God knew his thoughts before they were even formed. God in his all-knowing knew the very thoughts of David. And let's read in verses 1 through 3. And David writes in Psalm 139, verse 1, "O Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. You know my sitting down and rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar off." God can eavesdrop into your thoughts. He can read and understand what you are thinking. In verse 3, "You measure my going about and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all of my ways." And so again, the thoughts and the ways are connected. The way that we live is connected to our thoughts. And David understood that, and so therefore at the end of this psalm, in verse 23, Psalm 139, verse 23, David asked God to search his mind, to search out his thinking. And he says in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me That is, evaluate me. Look, again, look me over, test me, and know my thoughts. And see if any wicked way is in me, and lead me into the way of everlasting. And so David was asking for God to intervene and to help him to think righteously so that he could then be the person, a righteous person that God would have him be, to be sound-minded and to be following in the way of the truth. Turn over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verses 6 through 9. And we will find that when we were first called and came out of this world, our thoughts and our ways were not God's ways or God's thoughts. Let's read verse 6, Isaiah 55. And Isaiah writes, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near." And this is a call to repentance, brethren. This is a call to change the way that we think, because that is what's going to bring about the change in character. Verse 7, because it says here, God says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Forsake, throw away, get rid of, "and let him return to the Eternal, the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." So here we see the call to repentance, which we all have received. And now, God says here, in verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." If you look at this scripture versus what Paul wrote in Philippians, what is your thoughts at this point? What God is pointing out to us, this is where we start. Our thoughts are separated as the east is from the west, as far as God is concerned. But he wants us to narrow the gap. He wants our thinking, our thoughts, and our whole mental attitude to be like him. That is why he called us. He is creating sons and daughters. And he wants us to think like he does. Is that possible? Yes, it is. Not in the extent that not in the way that God thinks today, but the thought process, the focus, the very way that we live can be implanted into our very minds. Again, let's turn now to Philippians 2:5. Let's read the scripture and then understand that there is an important word in this scripture which I want to focus on over in Philippians 2, verse 5. And let's read it. And it says, Philippians 2, verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Paul is indicating here that this is not an automatic pass that you get to get the mind of Christ automatically, even with receipt of God's Holy Spirit. But it is a process. It is something that is occurring over time as we grow in conversion, as we grow in the power of the Holy Spirit to obey God, to love God, and to keep his commandments, so that we can develop more of the very character and the mind of God. And this is the way that I believe this could be understood, because let's go to Romans 12 and verse 2, and we'll see this very idea can be expanded and understood. Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. "Do not conform yourself to this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind, in order that you may prove," that is to absolutely know with certainty, "what is the well-pleasing and good and perfect will of God." And we know this morning we heard with Marlon's message and with what Fred, what is God's will? That we basically love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. That our focus is to obey him, to love one another, to keep his commandments, but not, and also to recognize that in doing so, that we're growing in the very nature of God. God is recreating himself. And he's calling us, brethren, for some very specific purposes. That is to be in his family forever, but to be in the kingdom, to rule under Jesus Christ during the millennium and for all out on through eternity, and to be the bride of Christ. And you know, Christ is not going to marry anyone who does not think like he does and work with him in terms of his plan and his purpose for the future. And again, husbands and wives know that there is a process by where husbands and wives, they actually begin to think alike. And that's what God wants us to develop. And so in the next few minutes, I'm going to go over 5 key points. Now, these are going to be brief. You're going to need to expand these out as you do your own study. 5 key points that if practiced and diligently put into study, that this will be the way that you can develop the thoughts of God and actually have more of the very mind of Jesus Christ. First point. Seek God with all your heart. Seek God with all your heart. Now, we heard about that this morning in terms of that we have to be seeking God and we can be found of him. Yes, we need to be found by God and he will grant us, as we just read in Isaiah 55, if we seek him with our whole heart, he will grant us forgiveness upon repentance, and he will, again, if we're called unto salvation, to grant us his Holy Spirit. And put down in your notes, again, it was read this morning, Fred read it out of Scripture, Matthew 22:37, because when you seek God with the whole heart, you basically make this the key to seeking God and to loving him. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul. And the question I have for you, do your thoughts reflect the mind of Jesus Christ? Do your thoughts and your thinking truly align up with God's commandments, his way of love, and the way of giving and serving and doing his will? And again, we're growing in that. We're not perfected yet. There are many times we fall far short of this. But the goal, brethren, is to continue to pursue the remaking of your mind, the renewing of your mind, and to truly understand that it is a process that we need to take a very active part in. Turn to Psalm 1, back to Psalms, please. If you go to Psalm 119, let's go to Psalm 119 and verses 1 through 3. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. This is a person who basically is seeking God with his own heart, as we can read, focused on God, focused on his law. Blessed are they who keep his testimonies and who seek him with the whole heart. Wholeheartedness, brethren, is that there is no second choice. It is the primary. It is the ultimate choice. It is focused. And it's ongoing. Verse 3, and they do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. And so you can see, once you have your thoughts in line with God's laws, you walk in his way. Thoughts first, process of thinking, developing attitude. You walk in his way, the very way of God. And you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. The word precept has to do with concept. It actually can be focused on as being thoughts, the thoughts of God, the very thoughts of God, his precepts, and we are to keep them diligently. Because what is the basis of God's thoughts in his way of life? It's right here. He gave it to us. This is contained in here are the thoughts of God, the very way of God. That's where we're looking at. And of course, then, to follow God's word and to obey him in all things is that leads us then to have the mind of Christ and be more like him. In fact, that's what it says in Proverbs 16:3, verses 3 through 4. Let's turn there, please. Very key. And again, when I was doing this preparation, I found this scripture, and it really was an eye-opener in recognizing that our thoughts can be established upon the way that we live. So we see the reverse happening. Once you begin to follow a particular way of life, you develop the habit, you develop the consistency, so that now your thoughts are even established. And let's read Proverbs 16, verses 3 and 4. It says, commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Commit your works, the way you live, the way you conduct your life, unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. The Lord has made all for his own purpose, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. And so basically we're seeing is that if we follow this pattern of putting God first, keeping his commandments, and loving God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, then we shall be laying down the very foundation of being able to think more like God does. Point number two. Once you've established that foundation, point number two is guard your mind. Guard the door of your mind. Yes, you've got to be aware, alert, that all that's coming into your mind is not of God. And all the thoughts that you think are not of God. And so we have to be actively guarding the door of our minds to what we allow in. And you understand the computer idea that garbage in, garbage out. So if you allow a lot of garbage in, and it hangs around, you're going to be producing garbage out. And so therefore, if you can guard the door of your mind, then you can prevent the stuff from getting in there in the first place. Back, since we're in Proverbs, let's go back to Proverbs 4. And we're talking about what it says right here in Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, 23. Above all, guard the door of your mind with diligence. And diligence means puts in quick, speedy, maximum effort. In other words, there is no slack of hand here in terms of what this proverb is saying. Guard the door of your mind with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, because out of your mind is going to come, everything is going to flow from your mind and from your thoughts. It says to put away from you a wicked mouth, and devious lips put far from you. In other words, by guarding the door of your mouth, the door of your mind, you're able to put away the wicked thoughts. You're able to do away with them before they have a chance to actually be formed and to be put forth. Verse 25, let your eyes look right on and let your eyelids look straight before you. So we're seeing, again, we're talking about our senses and how we look and see things. So your eyes are now looking straight ahead. They're not to the left, to the right, but you're looking focused on God's plan and God's purpose, his way of life. And you're not looking off into the ways of the world or the way of Satan, the devil. And it says, verse 26, ponder your paths of your feet. And all your ways will be established. And so if we can put totally our mind in focus before we act, before we speak, and get rid of the trash and work on what is right, then we will avoid a lot of problems in our life. A lot of sin is just not going to happen. Brethren, that's not easy. It's easy to understand, difficult to put in practice. I've been at it for a long time, and I still have not mastered it. I'm not referring that you have either, but the key thing is, you have to keep this in mind. Are we going to think the right thoughts? Are we going to be focused on God? In verse 27 says, do not turn to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. And if we understand this, then if we can control our minds, if we can control our thought processes, more and more, we will develop the mind of Christ. Christ lived on the earth for 33 and a half years. He had a mind and a brain. Again, he was in the physical flesh. And yet he did not sin once. Yes, he had the Holy Spirit without measure. But he still had the same temptations, the same pull of the flesh. But he never allowed any thought to generate sin. Did he? Again, I don't know the context, but temptation. Something came into his mind. He had to choose. He chose the way of righteousness, the way of truth, the way of God's word. So we need to guard our minds, because really, not all the thoughts that come into our minds. Three sources of thought that you have. And what are they? Your own thoughts. Yes, those that you generate based from memory, based upon your senses, that is your feel, touch, smell, taste, and touch. All of these can generate thoughts and impressions, but also the second one, I mean, would be from God. God can speak to you. He can, not in voice, but in concept. He puts ideas into your mind, and he can speak to you that way. And thirdly, thoughts and ideas can come from Satan, the devil, from the demonic world. Oh, yes, they can. And you can turn over to Ephesians 2, verse 2. And we can understand that scripture. He says that he was the prince of the power of the air. And he's able to transmit thought into our brains, into our thought pattern. And this may have happened to you. You're going down the street one day and you're just having a good day. And all of a sudden this thought will pop into your mind. And it is not a pleasant thought. It's an evil thought. Where did it come from? Did it come from God? No. Did it come necessarily from you, your own senses and your own memory? No, it came from the enemy. And so that's why it's important that we must be alert and aware of our thoughts. And to always recognize that if we can be diligent, if we can truly recognize, capture, and cast out wrong thinking before it's germinated into words and action, then we're growing. We're growing in the mind of Christ. Point number three is that now that we're seeking God, and number one, number two, that we're guarding the door of our mind. Number three, learn to recognize and capture every evil and wrong thought. And it's exactly what I'm saying is, if a thought comes into your mind, rather than acting on it emotionally or without a lot of thought pattern, capture it, recognize it for what it is, and cast it aside, and do not act upon it. That's quite a statement, because they say that thought travels at the speed of light. But you have to be nimble. You have to truly be aware and recognize that we can use the Word of God. Let's turn to Hebrews 4th chapter, if you will. Turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Because God has given us the tools. He's given us the means by which we can recognize and capture evil thoughts, evil ideas, evil impressions that might be coming upon our mind. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of both soul and spirit and of both joint and marrow. This is, again, the word of God. Can pierce through all of the maze of various things, and notice what it does. It cuts to the core, and is able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And if we study, as we heard this morning, if we focus and understand the Word of God, we can recognize and we can begin to nullify these thoughts that come upon us. And if we're doing that, if we're practicing this, let's just turn to the same chapter. Let's our chapter, same page, actually, Hebrews 5. And let's start in verse 12. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. Because as we grow in spiritual maturity, and that's what this life's process is about, we are growing in how to live and how to act more like God. Paul writes in verse 12, "For truly by this time you ought to be teachers." In other words, you ought to be skilled in the word. You ought to know the basis of those things that you can teach others. And he says here, again, to be teachers, but instead you need to have someone teach you again what are the beginning principles of the oracles of God, and have become those in need of milk and not solid food. Well, milk is what you start out with. Yes, the milk of the word, very important when we first are called. We have to start with the small things, the milk of the word, but that is to grow. A baby does not continue to live on milk for the rest of its life. Verse 13 says, "For everyone who is partaking of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness," and that's God's word, "is unskilled in knowing and understanding the deeper doctrines and principles of God's word," is unskilled in that, because he is an infant, a spiritual infant. a spiritual infant. But notice verse 14. But solid food is for those who are fully grown, who through repeated practice have their senses trained to discern between good and evil. And so, brethren, very clearly, this is a key scripture to understand that as we grow spiritually, we're able to discern right from wrong clearly according to God's word, and we're able to act upon that and to choose the right and to discard the wrong. Point number four, once you have recognized and captured the point number four, is you eliminate it, you cast it out, you get rid of it. Paul many talks about mortifying the flesh, mortifying, but we're talking about killing thoughts. We're talking about getting rid of those thoughts and temptations which can lead to sin. We read in, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10 and starting in verse 3. For although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Paul is pointing out that our warfare is not based upon just the physical weapons that we have, but God has given us some very powerful spiritual weapons that we can use against sin and against the forces of the enemy. And he points out again, continuing in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the overthrowing of strongholds. Now, if you do a word study on the word strongholds, what are strongholds? Well, strongholds are a number of things, but these are areas of embedded sin, bad habits. This could be areas of wrong thinking, stinking thinking, emotional elements in our life, which basically is against the word of God. And if it's not of God, then what is it? It is of evil and of sin. So what he's saying here, that with the weapons that God has given to us, we can overthrow those very embedded thought areas of wrong thinking. And again, this can include anger, bitterness, self-bitterness, envy, jealousy, unforgiveness, and even occultic thinking that may have still be embedded in the back of your mind. These are strongholds of Satan the devil that, if are present, are going to cause the individual considerable problems, and because it's sin. But verse 5, after reading the in context, but mighty through God to the overthrowing of strongholds, casting down vain imaginations. Now, imaginations are what? Thought processes, aren't they? Vain, they're pride, vanity. Vain imaginations, and every high thing, every prideful thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. And so if we put these scriptures together, we can see there is a stepwise process that if we can just continue to practice these things, we can indeed begin to acquire the mind of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 21, and just a key scripture I want to give to you, because as we put on the mind of Christ, what are we doing? We're getting rid of the old man, and we're putting on the new man, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, and let's read 21 through 24, please. Ephesians 4, verses 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him according to the truth in Jesus, that concerning your former conduct, that is, the conduct of sinful conduct where we were not thinking like God, you put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which according to God is created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. In other words, brethren, we're growing in sanctification. We're growing in the very mind of our Savior Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are able to know and understand those things of God, but also we're preparing for future rulership under Christ. And finally, point number 5, and this is going to be a short one. It was covered earlier today, with Fred covered this in one sense. Point number five, once you've eliminated and cast it out, let's remember that nature abhors a vacuum. If you throw something out and if you don't replace it with something, something is going to come back to overtake that space. Using that concept, point number five is fill your mind with the things of God. Fill your mind with the things of God. Marlon this morning said the key here is to spend time thinking about the things that God thinks about. Go through it, read the scriptures, study His word, communicate with God. He speaks to you through study and we speak to Him through prayer. Meditation. Meditation is where you study the Word of God and applying it to yourself. And you can do this throughout the day. When you go for work, continue to arm yourself with the fullness of God and the fullness of Christ. And finally, last scripture. Let's turn to Ephesians. We're still in the book of Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians 3 and understand the importance of filling our minds with God in the ways of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be fully able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses human knowledge. And notice what it says, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. The more we put in of God, the less there's going to be room for the enemy, Satan, to be able to put anything in. Anyways, brethren, I hope this has stirred your thinking. It certainly has stirred mine to recognize that good effort in will produce right results. And in this case, brethren, we are able to understand what it means to have the mind of Christ. And we also, hopefully through this message, that we can understand how we can achieve it. So with that, let us grow in the mind of Christ.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.